Chapter 2. Urban Legends. Epigraph. To catch monkeys years ago, hunters would take a large barrel and fill it with bananas and other treats appealing to monkeys. Then they'd cut a hole in the side, just large enough that the monkey could barely get his hand and his arm through it. The monkey would reach in the barrel and grab one of those treats. But when he clenched his fist, it would be too big to back out of the hole. The monkey would be so stubborn and so intent on holding on to what was in his hand, even when his captors converged on him, he wouldn't turn it loose. Joel Osteen. Despite stupendous successes, the sad reality is this. Osteen's sermons are plagued by undocumented anecdotes and urban legends buttressed by misinterpretations of the Bible. Sometimes the stories are just silly. As a classic case in point, Osteen recites a common urban legend regarding codfish. Many years ago, says Osteen, fishing for codfish up in the Northeast had become a lucrative commercial business. The fishing industry recognized that a great market for codfish existed all over America, but they had a major problem in the distribution. The problem, according to Osteen, is that the owners could not freeze the codfish because after the codfish were frozen, they lost their taste. Further, shipping codfish across the country in huge tanks of salt water just made matters worse. Because the fish were inactive in the tank, they became soft and mushy, and once again, they lost their taste. The owners finally solved the problem by putting catfish in the tanks. Says Osteen, catfish are a natural enemy of codfish. So as the tank traveled across the country, the codfish had to stay alert and active and be on the lookout for catfish. Osteen's takeaway here is actually quite good. Says Osteen, like the catfish, perhaps your adversary was dropped in your path for a purpose, to challenge you, to strengthen you, to sharpen you, to keep you fresh, to keep you alive and active and growing. Undermining the point, however, is the presence of legend. And oftentimes the takeaway of the legends he forwards as fact can be downright dangerous. To buttress his belief in generational curses, for example, Osteen chronicles an interesting study done in 1993 by the United States military. They were curious about what traits get passed down from one generation to the next. Here's how Osteen recounts the story. Researchers extracted some white blood cells from a volunteer, and they carefully placed them in a test tube. They then put a probe from a lie detector machine down in that test tube to measure the person's emotional response. Next, they instructed this same volunteer to go a couple of doors down and watch some violent scenes from an old war movie on television. When this man watched the scenes, even though the blood that was being tested was in another room, when he got all uptight and tense, that lie detector test shot off the page. It was detecting his emotional response, even though the blood was no longer in his body. Osteen adds that this was not an isolated experiment. United States experimenters did this with person after person with the same results. They concluded that the blood cells seemed to remember where they came from. While this tale is obviously bizarre on many different levels, Osteen employs it to convince his readers that the problems they encounter in the present can be pawned off to proclivities of parents and grandparents in the past. Some urban legends employed by Osteen are daffy, like the codfish and the catfish. Others, decidedly dangerous, like this 1993 U.S. military study. And still others, downright deadly. In the latter category is the gruesome death of a reliable, hardworking, though chronically negative railroad yard man named Nick. The tragic reality, according to Osteen, is that Nick caused his own death through a series of negative confessions. As Osteen recounts the tragic circumstances, Nick froze to death in moderate temperatures in an unrefrigerated boxcar. Investigators discovered that the refrigeration unit for the car in which Nick had been trapped was not even on. The problem, indicates Osteen, was wrong thinking. For Nick, the thing he feared and expected to happen came to pass. Nick began thinking he was cold, and therefore, in actuality, he became cold. And the more he thought about his circumstances, the colder he became. Although shivering almost uncontrollably, Nick scribbled these final fatal words to family on an old piece of cardboard. Getting so cold, body numb. If I don't get out soon, these will probably be my last words. Predictably, the next morning, Nick's body was discovered in the boxcar. As Osteen tells the story, Nick froze to death in slightly less than normal room temperatures because he believed that he was in a freezing boxcar. He expected to die. He was convinced that he didn't have a chance. He expected the worst. He saw himself as doomed with no way out. He lost the battle in his own mind. Incredibly, when the autopsy was completed, it revealed that Nick had indeed frozen to death. What Osteen makes no bones about is that wrong thinking not only leads to maladies such as diabetes and cancer, but in some cases, even death. And that within less than 24 hours. What he doesn't divulge is that his story is wholly made up. It's a common urban legend circulated by self-help gurus and preachers whose books and sermons traffic in the bizarre. While spinning legends about, well, bees dying in outer space because of a failure to use their wings, or monkeys captured with their hands in the proverbial banana bin, truth is a consistent casualty. But then so is Scripture. Along with urban legends and unsubstantiated stories is the ever-present specter of what I call script torture.